Hey, Landmark Baptist Church family and friends, welcome to our midweek evening Bible study together on April the 8th. It's a little hard to keep track of what day or what month it is at this point. It's amazing to think that we are, I think this is our fourth Wednesday night Bible study since we've been able to meet together in person. So almost a month, really, since we've been able to meet together in person. But I'm thankful that we've had the opportunity to meet this way online, to come together, to make the most of the situation that we have together. But I will say that meeting online this way and not being able to meet in person has even convicted me more and impressed on my heart even more the importance of the fellowship of the church in the body of Jesus Christ, and how encouraging it is to be around each other and to speak to each other and to show love toward each other, to meet physically and to edify one another in God and in God's Word. And so I hope that this absence, this moment that we have not been able to be together physically, is impressing upon your heart the need for Christian community and for our church community. And so though this is not the scenario that we want to learn these lessons in, I hope that we are learning our lessons, and I hope that we will not take for granted when our lives do return to what we would call normal. I hope that we won't take for granted the opportunity that we do have to be together. But for tonight, I am thankful that we have this opportunity to gather around God's word once more and to be in the book of James again. We're going to be in James chapter number 1 again. We're going to finish out the chapter this evening, and so I'm excited about that. So if you have your Bible, turn to James chapter 1. We're going to be there in just a few moments. Like last week in our evening midweek study, we're actually going to jump right into our Bible study tonight. Then at the end of our Bible study time, we will have a few moments of prayer. We will spend some time together discussing some things about a couple missionaries and what's going on in their lives right now. Share a little bit of update about some things in our church this week. And then we'll close our evening out with a song together and singing and preparing our hearts for what is Resurrection Weekend, Easter Sunday. I'm thankful that we are going to have the opportunity to at least meet this way, and praising the Lord for that. It won't be the same quite as meeting in person, but let's prepare our hearts to rejoice in the resurrection of our Messiah and the fact that we don't have to be in a church building. We don't have to be in any sort of religious, what we would consider a religious service, to celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior, the Messiah of the world, the very Son of God, come slain for our sins, bearing our griefs and sorrows, then raising to new life and giving that new life to us. And so let's prepare our hearts this week, these next few days. As a church, we're going to put out a few things online to try to encourage you, some videos and articles, different things, try to encourage us in the gospel of Christ these next few days as we celebrate this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday that's coming up this weekend. And so if you have your Bible, turn to James chapter 1. And then you'll need one more thing this evening. If you need to pause the video, you can. We've been doing this for a couple weeks now. We have a Bible study page for this particular Bible study on our website at lbcrichmond.com/James. And when you go there, by then, eventually this video will be there. The last two lessons are also there at the bottom. It shares with you some quotes and different things, and we're going to even put some resources about studying the book of James up there later in the month. And then also on the side, or if you're on your phone as you scroll through, you can find the study guide section, and there you'll see lesson 1, lesson 2, and lesson 3. If you click on that or select it, it'll bring up a PDF of our study guides, and you can look at it there on your own device. It's going to look similar to this. You can print it out like I have and use it. Write things down across it. At the bottom, there's a family discussion guide, a personal study section, and so there's some follow-up things that we'll be doing as a church after this Bible study this evening. Well, I want to jump right into it this evening. Sometimes it takes me a long time to just introduce something. I'm not even sure where we are. Took me 5 minutes to say hello tonight. So let's jump into our Bible study. And then after that, we'll spend some time together in prayer and singing and a few updates as we walk our way through. Just like the last few weeks, I'll put some things up here on the screen for you. I'm trying not to hide too far behind the screen section there in the corner of your screen. And then what I'll do is under this video, I'll also attach some of the links to the website and some of the other things that will be mentioned even throughout the update section later in the service. But if you have everything that you need, let's jump into God's Word together tonight. In fact, let's start with a word of prayer together. You pray there as a family. I'll lead us, but if you'd like to pause and pray as a family or as a couple for a few moments, feel free to do that as well. And our church body is praying together this evening. We have many things that we've been praying over and praying for. On the prayer section of our website page, we've had a family in our church that has lost a family member in death to this virus, and we've been praying for the Grants and their family. There's a couple others that have shared their family members that now have the virus that we're praying for as well. Some that have had surgeries, all sorts of things going on in our church members' lives. And so let's spend a few moments and pray together about the reading of God's Word. But if you want to spend a few moments praying as a family, feel free to do that as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Lord, you are gracious and good to us that we can call you our Father, that we can call Jesus our Savior, and that the Holy Spirit is our guide. And so we come to you tonight calling on all three parts of that wonderful Trinity. We ask that as a Father, you would love us and kindly teach us. We ask that as our Savior, you would move in us and allow the gospel to work in our hearts through the ministering of your word and the understanding that your Holy Spirit gives us. As we open to this passage tonight, give us great understanding. Help us to know and to be guided, to be Christ-like in our actions, in our ways, and in our minds. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. Okay, take your Bible there and look at James chapter 1. We will read the end of the chapter in just a moment. But I'll put a few things up just to remind you where we are. We're in a study of the book of James called Finding a Faith That Works. One of the main themes of the book of James is the fact that true faith leads to consistent, over and over again in our lives, consistent Christ-like works. And that faith without works, as the Bible says, is dead. That if I can say that I believe in Christ, but then I do not live as though his word and his life have affected me, then there is no faith there to begin with. And so we're talking about finding a faith that works. What does faith look like when we follow our Savior and we follow our God? And tonight we're getting into lesson 3, the last portion of chapter number 1 in the book of James. And here is your title and your theme, Hearers and Doers. A very familiar verse to us that have grown up in church or that have been around church very long is hearing and doing both, hearing and then following and doing the Word of God. We're going to look at that concept this evening as we approach James chapter number 1. Let me give you a little bit of review and then we're going to read our text this evening. Again, we mentioned the main theme in the book of James is true faith produces consistent Christ-like works in a believer's life. And that's what we are measured by our fruit, by the fruit that our lives bear for the cause and the purpose of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about the fact that trials are going to come. It was a pretty fitting lesson to start into the book of James, is the fact that suffering and trials and problems will come in our lives, but that they do not surprise our God, and that he even uses them to grow us spiritually. So that's where we left off, and we're going to jump into the text tonight. In fact, look at James chapter number 1. We're going to pick up in the verse that we left off with last week, verse number 18, and we're going to read our way down through the rest of the chapter. James chapter number 1, verse number 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And this is where we ended last week. And we said that this is speaking about God, and it says, of God's will, We are born out of the word of truth. This is speaking of our salvation. We are born into the gospel that we should be first fruits of his creatures. That first fruits, we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment as an introduction. It means we're going to display the works and the fruit that Christ brings about in the life of a believer. That is his purpose. That is, he has a reason for us. He has a will. And he doesn't save us to then abandon us. He saves us to change us and to work in our lives. And so let's look at the rest of the chapter. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, that means abundance of evil, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so as we read that text and we follow along, we see kind of the direction that we're headed tonight, and we'll get into our introduction in just a moment. Let's go back to verse number 18, if you would. And before we really look at verses 19 through 27 and examine what those things mean for us in our lives, we have to look at verse 18 as sort of an introduction into this section of the end of chapter number 1. Again, as we mentioned, of his own will, we were born with the word, or from the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And we talked about the fact last week that let's go to this first. He says, this first fruits that's in our lives, the first fruits that's in our lives, in Bible day, the first fruits, that was the early crops, that was what was brought in first, that was sacrificed to the Lord. It was a display of sacrifice. It was a gift to show the goodness of God. And so he says, we have been saved to show and to display the goodness and the working of God in our lives. And so we have been saved to be these first fruits. And then as we get into the rest of the book of James, he's going to show us what that looks like. What does it look like to display the goodness of God? And we start with this sort of first section of that. And he jumps right into some things and kind of bouncing off what we talked about last week. Trials can produce spiritual growth in our lives if we allow God to work in us. But trials can also produce negative things in our lives. And as we read a moment ago, evidently one of the things that trials were producing in the readers of the book of James' life was anger and impatience. And we're going to address those two things this evening. Because trials can produce one thing or another. Even this crisis, this trial that we're going through, God may have used it to produce growth in your life, dependence on Him, a focus on Him, or it could have produced, even like we're going to read tonight, impatience and anger in our lives at what is going on and how things are being handled, how our own lives are being handled. And so as we look at verse 18, it's important to know that James is laying out a big vision before he gets into the specific actions of what God wants from our lives. And that's important. Why? Because he wants us to see the purpose and the goal of what God is going to do in our lives. And that's important, just like anything else. If you were going to, I've heard it illustrated this way, if you were going to teach someone to play an instrument, you would not necessarily want to sit down and in the very first introduction to this instrument say, now here are all the rules, here are all the technicalities, here are all the details of how you do what you do. You could overwhelm someone that way. But what you could do first is play music for them or take them to a concert by some master musician who has perfected their skill and say, this is the goal. You're going to learn a lot of rules. You're going to learn a lot of details. You're going to have a lot of things, codes sort of, that you go by, and rhythm and all of the background and the music theory that you're going to learn. You're not learning those things just for the rule's sake or just for the theory's sake. You're learning them to be able to accomplish this beautiful piece of music. Or if you're going to learn a hobby, or if you're going to learn woodworking, or if you're going to learn to play a sport, you would not first learn immediately just say, here's all the rules. You would go to a game, or you would look at a piece of furniture, or look at a piece of art to feel and to be inspired. And that's what James is doing here. He's giving us a vision. The goal is to display the goodness of God as His first fruits. That is why we're going to address these things. That is what we're going to look at in the next few minutes and for the next few weeks as we study the book of James. He's not just giving us rules for rules' sake. He's not just telling us how to live so we'll have a code of ethics to live by. He is telling us this is how you display the goodness of God. So as we get into this chapter tonight, as we get into this lesson, our faith, yes, it has rules and demands. There are works that we should do, but our faith is first based in the beauty of the gospel. The fact that God worked in our hearts, saved our souls, that Jesus, as we will rejoice in this Resurrection Sunday, took our sin on Himself, died for us, raised to new life, extends that account to us, and then now calls us to live for Him. That is the grand scope. It is not just that being a Christian is about doing the right things with your mouth and your words. It's not just about being patient. It's not just about reserving anger and holding back in those things. It's not just about the other do's and don'ts that we're going to learn about. Those are part of a bigger purpose. Rules and actions, I'll put the note here, rules and actions do not transform people's lives. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, or you have, if you've taught, or you're in a classroom, and you have to set out some rules, or you have to lay out what is expected and what actions. That does not transform a student's life. They're not like all of a sudden, oh man, they have now explained the structure of the classroom, and so now I will be an excellent student. I'm absorbed. I am paying attention. It's not about that. You have to have those things. But they have to contribute to the greater purpose. They have to contribute to an environment of learning. They have to contribute to what the goal is. But God's love and the beauty of the gospel, the vision for our lives, and the reasoning that He has behind what He has asked us to do, that is what transforms us. When a purpose is laid out in our lives, God has called us to be a display of His nature and His goodness. So why do we do what we do? To display our God. And so in a few moments when we read and we talk about the fact that we're to be slow to speak, that we are quick to hear, that we reserve our anger, that we do and not just hear God's word, but we do what it teaches. Why do we do all of those things? What is the grand vision here? We want to display our God to those that we love, to those that we meet, to those we interact with, to all those that come into our lives. We want to display the character and nature of God. How do we do that? By displaying the nature of Christ as we learn it in His Word. So let's jump into this tonight. If you got your hand out, you can look at several different things there. And we'll jump into number one. Here's how we've labeled it out tonight. If you have your hand out, we have four main ideas from the text. We have that there's a problem, there's a solution, there's a result from that solution, and then there he finishes with a warning. And so we're going to talk about each of those things. Number one, what was the problem? What's the first problem? There's a lot more that he's going to get to, but what's the first problem that James addresses in this book? And he starts, and we're going to see this as we go through, he starts by listing some specific things, but he uses them to sort of reach and grab and uncover a deeper problem. It wasn't, you have here that part of their problem was their listening, their speaking, and their anger. But those were all manifestations. Those are all fruit of deeper issues of the heart. So we're going to talk a little bit about those as we go through. Look at verse 19 again. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." And speaking about trials and crisis, what is affected first when a trial or crisis is not handled well? Well, often I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear what others have to say. I have my own opinion. I want to speak, not just this crisis and trial, but any problem of life. Sometimes when we face suffering, we shut off any input from others. We blurt out anything that we desire to say, and those are just results, and they are fruit of the anger that is going on in our hearts. James addresses these three things. He says, you're not listening, you're speaking quickly and brashly, and you're quickly rushing to wrath and to judgment. And those are not characteristics of Christ. How often in Christ's ministry, that's what we got to get back to, is this is not just a way to live, a Christ-like way to live. Think about in Jesus' ministry, as people came to him, did they have sin? Yes. Had Zacchaeus sinned? Yes. Has the woman at the well sinned? Yes. The others that came to Christ, had they sinned? Did they have problems? Even the Pharisees, when they came to Jesus, often with a question or with something, Jesus often listened first. He listened, he took in, and often he could change someone's heart simply by being an ear to listen to them, to let them express their problems and their anxieties, their troubles. And in listening, he then could, through the Holy Spirit and through, of course, the perfection of his mind, but now we have his word, minister to them by listening, being slow to speak, not quickly assuming and just trying to look at somebody as a problem to fix, but seeing them as a person to minister to. That's one place that we often struggle. And it's because we quickly jump to judge or to punish. I heard someone say a long time ago, and it stuck in my mind, try to help someone before you punish that someone. Try to help someone before you put some sort of infraction on them and overpower them into submission, but you help them along the way. And we as Christians are to display this type of mindset. But James is saying, evidently, they're struggling with this. We're going to see some of why. Why is this a big deal to live this way? Some people say, well, that's just the way I am. I just say what I think. I just say whatever comes into my mind. The Bible talks about the fact in Proverbs, it says that a fool speaketh his whole heart, or in his whole mind, but the wise man keepeth it in till after. And we say, well, that's just my nature. I just speak quick, and then I'll figure it out later. Well, that's not what God teaches us to be like. Why is that not a good thing? Or a quick-tempered person, or somebody that is quick to speak brashly. Why is that not Christ-like? Well, look at verse number 20. For the wrath of man worketh not, it means it does not produce the righteousness of God. Man's wrath is passionate anger or vengeance, a vengeful spirit, it never produces any godliness. You have that there in your quotes, in your handout. He was not just speaking of fits of anger, but a deeper underlying root of anger. This is not just somebody cursed them out. This is not just somebody physically harmed them. He's saying you are living your life where you are constantly jumping on people, quick to speak. You're not listening. And there is a root of anger inside of you, whether it is jealousy, whether it is bitterness, whether it is comparison that you're making from your side to the other, whether it is envy. He says there is a root of anger, and it is affecting everything you're doing, and it's displayed by how you speak to others. Wrath, anger, does not produce godliness. And in fact, it hinders any growth of godliness in our lives. And so we get to number two, the solution. So the problem in this particular passage is the fact that their anger was causing, they would not listen. They spoke in a way that was not Christ-like. They responded in anger. They were thinking angry thoughts about others. And so, what is the solution? Look at verse 21. Great verse. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. It's a picture of dirtiness. And superfluity of naughtiness. That's a mouthful, but it simply means abundance of wickedness. So it says, lay off. And let's just start there with that chunk of verse number 21. Get rid of the things that pollute your spiritual life. He says, lay apart. We broke it down in your handout. Lay apart. That literally means to lay aside or renounce all filthiness. That's a picture of moral dirt, pollution in our lives, the things that clog up our spiritual growth. Lay it aside. Superfluity, this abundance of evil and malice and spite, the extra stuff that you have in your life. The anger that kind of makes you hyperventilate spiritually all the time, breathing, unable to rest spiritually. We put there a quote, angry thoughts are extra thoughts. They are not needed. You ever find yourself just dwelling in anger? You ever find yourself arguing with somebody in your mind after they're no longer there? Arguing with somebody after they have left your presence? Anger just broods and builds. And God says, remove it. Take it off, lay it aside, lay it apart. I think about going into a house that has a mudroom. My house now doesn't have one, though my wife would probably, we'd probably like one with our kids at the age that they're at now. We didn't have one growing up either. If you came in the front door, you were in the living room. If you came in the back door, you were in the kitchen. If you came in the basement door, you were in the family room. So there was pretty much that. So all of us brothers, we'd go out, we'd be playing in the yard, stirring up dirt, bleeding, you know, rocks and mud, you know, just all sorts of stuff, rolling in the grass, doing all these things. We'd be muddy. We'd come back and we'd get ready to go in the house. And you didn't come in the house that way. You weren't supposed to come in the house with all that on you. What'd you have to do? You had to take it off. Now, luckily, we were young enough, and in our backyard, we didn't have any neighbors, really, besides some people related to us. My cousins lived back there and different things. And so you could just take it off on the porch, run to your room, get in the shower, clean it up, and go. We can't necessarily do that in all places, in all ways, but the Bible is teaching us tonight. He says, take that, don't bring that into this house, meaning the house of God, the place, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, which is our lives. And James is saying, lay it off, lay it aside. Don't bring the filth inside. Don't bring the dirt, the things that pollute, the things that affect the internal spirit of your body, the things that will make you dirty spiritually. Don't bring it in. Lay it aside. And then what do we do? Notice it says, the end of verse number 21, and receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. You put off the sin, the anger, the things that are affecting your life, and you put in the Word of God. We are to submit humbly to God's Word and to the work of God in our lives. We are to open our hearts to what He is trying to pour in. We put a quote there, a clenched fist receives no gifts. And in this case, meaning the Word of God. If our lives are angry and we are determined to be who we think we should be and how we should be, what we should be like, and the interactions we have with people, the anger that broods up in our heart, and our fists are clenched, we cannot receive the Word of God. And God says, take all those things you're holding on to, lay them aside, and then you can receive God's Word into your heart. Now, the paradox of this is that this is not a problem we can fix on our own. The Word of God is what cleanses us. So we have to open those hands, but we only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the work of God's Word in the first place. And so it's sort of a paradox. How are we going to have help? Letting go and receiving the Word of God. How are we going to let go? Through the Word of God itself. I wish I could do it. If I wouldn't ruin the computer that's sitting in front of me, I'd try it tonight or dump water all over myself. If you were to bring a jar of water in here, a little cup that had just tons of nasty, filthy, muddy water inside of it, and you were to say, you've got to clean this out, but you can't just dump it out on your own. You can't just dump it out. You got to clean this out somehow. Well, how would we clean it? Well, then if I were to bring a water hose in here, a big high-pressure water hose, and put it into that cup, crank it on, turn it on, or take a huge pitcher, a gallon, a bucket of water, and start pouring it into it. As water, clean water is poured in, it pushes that other junk out, and you do it long enough and you do it hard enough, eventually that glass is going to be clean. The same way with our lives. The junk that is in us, the more we continually pour in the Word of God, letting His Spirit work in us, He cleans us out and purifies our hearts and our lives. And what is the result of all of this? What will we have because of it? Look at verse number 23, and this is the result. Number 3, the result. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 22. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And so, what is the result of this? The problem is this anger. The solution is to remove the dirt and receive the Word of God. And what will happen? You'll have a heart that not only hears God's Word, but then acts and does God's Word. And that is what we desire. That is what we want. We put this in your bulletin tonight, or in your notes. It says, have you ever been stuck spiritually? Even though you are hearing God's Word regularly, you're stuck spiritually. Have you ever been that? You go to church, you're there every time you should be or every time you can be. Maybe you even read your Bible during the day. You read your Bible each day or on a weekly basis, or you think that you do things regularly. You hear God's Word, but you just feel stuck spiritually. Often there can be a deeper heart issue. We put here a stone of anger and impatience that has stunted our growth. You think of the parable of the good soil and the bad soil and the thorny soil and the stony soil and the pathway and the rockway. You think of those things. We want our hearts to be good soil that receives from God and His Spirit through His Word and then produces fruit from that. Well, what does it look like to not be? Look at verse 23 and 24. It says that there's this one that hears only. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, it says he's like someone that looks in a mirror, sees what he is, and then moves on as though there's nothing that is needed to be changed. And here's the truth. No matter where we are in our spiritual lives, we need to change. We need to be different. We have never reached maximum spiritual growth. There is always more growth that is needed. And so when we come to the mirror of God's Word, we have to come to God's Word ready to change, ready for God to work in us. Not thinking, well, I have nothing to change. I'm going to learn something today that will impress lots of people. But we come to God's Word needing it for ourselves, needing it for our own growth. Is your mindset right when you come to the Word of God? Are you just a hearer, or do you come ready to do and to change regardless of what God asks of us? It says he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, forgets what manner of man he was. But look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. True faith produces a willingness to submit and follow what we learn in the Bible. The Bible is not this magic wand where I literally can pick it up, open it anywhere, read some words, and all of a sudden I'm a better person. No, there are things to take off. There are things, as we just read, to take out, to put off. There are things to put in and to put on. And then there are things that we should shun and things that we should take on. Spiritual growth does not happen by accident. It happens on purpose. It happens with the right mindset. It happens by following and submitting to God's will and God's way. Why? Because God knows what is best for us. We do things the way that God instructs us in His Word. We do things how God tells us to do them. Why do we do them? Because He knows best. And true faith in a God that knows best produces works from someone who submits to what God says is best. And so that is the result, a heart that produces fruit because they hear and then respond in action. But then he finishes with this. He finishes with a warning. So he says, number one, what's the problem? In this case, it's their anger. It's the root. And really, you could apply this to any root sin in our lives. What's the problem? OK, Okay? The solution is to remove the bad and put in the good. Put in the good of God's word, following him. What's the result then? Someone who submits to what they hear and then they also do it in return. That it's one thing to hear instruction, but then not carry it out. If you're told to do something, but then you don't do it, and you expect a change or result. When you get in your car and you've been taught driver's ed and they say, start the car, put it in gear, push the accelerator, and you will move forward. We wonder sometimes in our spiritual lives why we're not moving forward when we're not doing what God is doing. Well, I got in and I started the car. Now, why am I not going anywhere? Well, did you put it in gear? No, I don't want to have to put it in gear. Well, did you put it in gear, but did you hit the accelerator? Well, I don't want to have to hit the accelerator. That's a lot of extra work. Well, if you don't do those things, you will not have any sort of productive movement forward. And sometimes in our spiritual lives, we get into the driver's seat and we say, well, I'm just looking at this. God just tells me to do something and I'm trying to do it, but there's no result because we hear and we do not do the word. And so there's a warning with that. And we'll finish with this in verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I want us to think about that for just a second. He's just giving one example here. He says, and bridleth not his tongue. He says, somebody that's among you that says that they trust in Christ, they have faith in Jesus, but they do not speak like Jesus. They do not hold their tongue the way that they should. They speak their mouth in anger and in temper, and they flare it up. They take it out on others. If that's the case, you have someone that says, I believe in God, but they don't follow him. Yes, I believe in Jesus, but I don't act like him. I believe in Christ, but I don't speak like him. Then that man's religion, he says, it is vain. It is useless. It does nothing for the cause of the gospel. And so we got to take that into our own minds. He's warning. He says, there are some that are deceived because of their religious lives. Well, what does real religion or faith look like? Real religion, true religion, verse number 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, does that just simply mean, well, that's all that there is to being a Christian? Visit orphans and visit the widows and just keep yourself away from the world and then there it is, praying? No, it's not. That's not what it's saying. It's saying true religion is moving, it is active. He's giving the example. He says, you got one person over here that says, I'm a Christian, but they can't control their mouth. They're bitter. They speak sarcastically. They're always curt. They accomplish things by, we'll call it a passive, aggressive nature. They insult. They tear down. You got somebody that says that they're a Christian, but they speak unlike Christ. That's vain. That's useless. Then you got somebody that says they're a Christian. What are they going to look like? They are going to do the works of Jesus, taking care of orphans and widows as an example, keeping themselves unblemished from the world, bridling that tongue, keeping their anger back. One preacher put it this way, don't be satisfied with the buds of hearing without the fruit of obedience. Now, kids, that's not earbuds. Buds like on a plant. He says, we wouldn't be happy with a flower bush or a rose bush that produced buds but never produce flowers. In the same way, it does not work in our Christian lives to hear the word of God but not do it. It doesn't work to be Christians that come right to the point of blooming out and producing fruit, but we never really get there. That type of Christian, he says, is useless, and maybe even to the point that they're not a Christian at all. And so he says, some have deceived themselves. Some have put off because they do not respond to the word of God. So our challenge tonight in all of these things, do you hear the word of God? I think that all of us do. You just listened to it. You went out of your way to go online and listen to the word of God. But do you do it? Do you actively respond to it? And we wonder tonight, and we contemplate, we think in our own hearts, are we responding to the word of God? Some of us tonight will do exactly what James just said. We'll hear the word of God, and then we'll walk away. We will hear another sermon, another lesson, another Bible study, but be unchanged. James says that is not natural for the Christian. That is unnatural for the Christian who says that they place their faith and trust in Christ to then not be affected by the Word of God. And so God, help us this week to be affected by His Word, to open it and to pour it into us, letting it drain out and push out the filthiness or the dirtiness, the things that pollute us spiritually, that hinder our growth. And maybe tonight it's the example that He just gave us, anger, our tongue, and our inability to listen to those that are around us for whatever it is, for whatever way that we can minister to them in Christ. I'm praying that you'll go through this family discussion section. There's some good things there. It's going to have you read Matthew chapter 13, the different types of soil. I challenge you, another passage you can read, I believe it may be Matthew 7, where Jesus tells the short parable of the man that built on the sand and on the man that built on the rock. You know what he says there? He says, I compare the one that hears and does not do my word, the one that hears and doesn't heed my word, he's like a man that builds on the sand. He hears the warning, but he does not pay attention to it. And eventually it washes away any productiveness that he's had. And so maybe find that, read Matthew 13, find that chapter. I can't remember the exact reference now, but Matthew 7, I believe that it is, that short parable as well. And reflect on those. Are we listening to and responding to the Word of God? Let's ask God to bless us in this study very quickly, and then we'll give you a couple other things and be done. Lord, help us tonight to be hearers of Your Word, to put ourselves in a position to hear it taught, to hear it preached, to read it, to hear it spoken to us, to hear it read to us, to read it and to speak it to others, but then move in our lives and help us to do it. Help us to take action. May we be convicted if we have not had change in our lives recently. May we know and find the fact that there is a problem in our lives, to diagnose the fact that we have let something hinder us, and then let us shed it. Let us take off those dirty raiments, take off the dirty clothes and the dirty garments that pollute up and bring junk into our lives, into Your house, into Your dwelling place. Let us lay those things off, trust the Word of God, and by faith know that You have instructed with what is best, and that what You give us in Your Word is not opinion or option. It is the very Word of God, and we ask You to bless it in Your precious name. Amen. All right, if you are still with us this evening, you made it all the way through, and you didn't give up on me speaking on our Bible lesson, I got a couple things for you tonight that we're going to make note of. And then we'll give you some time at the end and tell you what, after the last song, let's have our prayer time then. You're there by yourself, or call a friend, pray with them on the phone, call somebody from our church, a family member, or if you're there with your family, you'll spend some time praying together as well. And you can find some of those prayer requests on our website, and we'll spend, like we would on a normal Wednesday night, some time in prayer together. But before we do, let me just give you our missionary spotlight. Last week, we spotlighted two missionaries in Spain and one in Italy, two greatly affected areas by this virus. And then we're going to highlight two missionaries tonight that have some specific needs this week. Josh Polivka, we didn't put his country of where he ministers up there for different reasons, but he's one of our missionaries. His father passed away this week. I guess it's been a little more than a week ago now, and he had to return to the United States and travel right through the midst of all of this, go through the work that it took to be able to come back. But he was able to return from his country and return to the States, and he's here now dealing with the passing of his father. So pray for Josh, his wife, and his kids. That's the big prayer request that we can pray for in their lives right now at this time. So pray for Josh Polivka, and then pray for Daniel and Dina Brown, their kids, missionaries in Germany and into part of Liechtenstein. They're doing something unique this week. They're having an online Easter conference, and it's in German and in English. And they're having different speakers speak every night and then putting it all online, live streaming some of it, posting some of it, and trying to minister to people. And they've had a good response from this, not just from their own country, even people from the States are watching. We may even try to post the link to their conference underneath this, and you could even watch the English services, of course, and follow along with that. But an interesting perspective there. I didn't know a whole lot about this. I haven't even had a chance to research a lot about it. Much of Germany is Catholic, Catholicism as their background. And evidently this week, the Pope, for Easter week and different things, with all the things that are going on in the world, granted access for people to go and go before the Lord on their own without the interceding of a priest, which we know in the priesthood of every believer, we can do boldly every single day of our lives. And so it's kind of left a lot of people in their faith kind of reeling is, well, wait, if you can grant me this access now, this temporary access to go before the Lord and not have to have a blessing of another man, is there something more to this? And so it's an opportunity to minister to people there that are bringing into question maybe some of their faith. And so we'll pray that this conference, it's very gospel-centered. It's a lot, of course, about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we're praying that that'll minister there to the hearts of people and to all those that will hear it. So that's our missionary spotlight for this week. We'll be giving you some other updates about Easter in the next couple days and some things you can do. A new kids video will be going online tonight, hopefully a mission story. It's kind of just a picture booklet, and one of our, Becky Hibbard reads through it, and one of our junior church workers reads through it, and I think it'll be something fun. It's a part one, and so then each week we'll release the next part of it. So we had a lesson last week, mission story tonight for the kids. You'll see hopefully tomorrow the new coloring sheets will post online. Maybe we'll send a few of those out as well. And then the new lessons will start being posted in the next coming days for our kids' ministry online as well. I'm thankful for each of you, and I'm praying that you'll have a great Easter week, a resurrection week. Take the time to share God's word with those that are around you, to share the message of hope of the gospel, and to tell others about Christ. We're going to put up some pictures of ways that you can invite, graphics and links to be able to invite people to join with us for our Easter service, though it's not going to be in person, the streaming of our Easter service. And so we hope that you'll participate with that, invite others to it as well. We're going to finish tonight with a song. Again, if you weren't with us on Sunday, Sarah Mall came in, was able to record a couple congregational songs with Brother Young on the guitar and on the banjo. So a little something different for you tonight. And hopefully you'll sing along and then spend some time in prayer in God's word. Have a great week. Bye. Maybe.
All right, let's sing together. There's power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you only look for victory or win? There's wonderful power. Wider than snow, there's power.